always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine Tuesday afternoon by Harrison Fagan of SB Nation. Apologies to everybody. I was fully expecting to do a mailbag episode yesterday and did not sound good at all. In fact, I sounded so bad that Jen asked me, I was walking into my office, are you sure you're going to record? And, you know, seeing as she listened to me all day, I said, do I sound that bad? And she says, you should not do that to people. So here I am today, still feeling completely fine. I don't know why my voice went away. Didn't even have that crazy of a weekend. Just old, I guess. But Harrison, how's your voice?
My voice is great. Yeah, I'm just sorry that your voice deserted you on a holiday that your children were off for. You know, that's just really tough. That's bad luck that you just couldn't record. The listeners, Anthony really wanted to record yesterday. He was walking into his office and then he just realized, he's like, you know what? Just for the sake of you, I should take the day off. It's no, for all of your sake, though.
Kids were down, and you know, I was again. This is what was annoying about it, Harrison. I felt perfectly fine. There was no like, there was nothing else going on. I just sounded like Phil Jackson. Remember how Phil Jackson would do like those DVDs of the Lakers, and every time he would talk, it's like, Jesus, how do you yell for a whole game?
Well, he was yelling for whole games, just like you. Right. I assume you like coach the team from your couch. You're watching.
Yeah.
Like, JJ, you got to get Vando in there.
No, I don't like Vando. I don't like watching him play. Get him out of there.
Get Dalton in.
But I was, why do you hate like me watching basketball? Like, why do you have me liking all of the players that I don't enjoy watching?
I don't know. You're just such a contrarian. I imagine you like make up arguments with yourself while watching the game.
I will say this.
Like, you get Jen to agree with your opinion, and then you start arguing against it because just like instinctually, you're like, well, now Jen believes this about Vando. So like, you know, I gotta take the contrarian view.
I will say that like I get so lost in my own thoughts sometimes. I don't know if you ever do this. But I'll get so lost in my thoughts that I would like my face and my mood and all that stuff will change. And every so often I'll like, just like shake my head for no reason. And Jen will ask like, what's wrong? Like, are you doing it again? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I don't know like whether LeBron's going to come back or not.
I just was thinking about the Chris Paul trade. I really think it could have changed things.
Well, like right now, the LeBron thing, and we're going to talk about this later in the show, but like the LeBron thing is this omnipresent like issue where on one hand, I think Jeannie and Rob would kind of sort of like for him to be gone. But I think like, basketball wise, I don't see a world where the Lakers are better next year without like while also having to replace what LeBron James brought to the table.
Yeah.
And so like, that's why I'll just if there's nothing else going on, I'll just kind of like sit there and think about like the hypotheticals and build out rosters and all that stuff. And then just kind of shake my head and just say like, I don't see how this doesn't happen. And while all of that is going on, Jen apparently is watching me with that, you know, excruciating internal debate and laughing at the fact that I have it as frequently as I do.
Like, she's just like over there, like taking care of the kids. She's like, oh, Anthony's just, he's thinking about LeBron's cap hold again. He can't get his attention.
Yep. All right. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about the Lakers' newest hire, They hired a rocket scientist named Rohan Ramadas. I have some thoughts on both the hire and the process that led them there, and some of the things that I've heard about Rohan since. I do, however, have a, you know, and this is consistent with what we were talking about before the show, or in that last little intro to the show, Harrison. I have this nagging, annoying question in the back of my head that I just like can't move off of. So I'm going to present that to you. The Knicks over the weekend advanced to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999, where they could ironically meet the Spurs again. But they will, the Knicks beat the smoke.
Every generational Spurs big apparently has to get their first ring against the Knicks. It's just like, it's just NBA history demands it.
Yeah. This time, like, the Knicks will be healthier this time when, you know, if that's how this plays out. They weren't particularly healthy when they played the Spurs.
OJ Simpson died, right? So there's no chance like he gets into like a car chase again, like during the during the game.
Harrison,
I gotta look this up.
If somebody would have pulled me before you would have, like, as you were opening your mouth to speak just now, and if somebody would have given me odds on like what was about to come out of your mouth, there is no world where OJ died, right? Was the thing that I would have predicted you were about to say.
That is my only memory of that finals is the OJ car chase. It, like, they did a whole documentary about it. It's more relevant than the actual, like, yeah, it's one of the, and by the way, I did just look this up for the audience. He is dead. So there's
yes,
no
he
chance.
He is dead. Yeah.
He died.
One of the darkest,
I'm not going to say RIP, I guess. I don't know. No, like, we don't, yeah, I don't think we need to say RIP.
No, one of the darker periods in online, like in the history of Twitter was when OJ created a Twitter account and immediately became like one of the fastest growing Twitter accounts out there. And I was just like, we're done, man. Like there's no coming back from where we currently reside as a society. But anyway, yeah. So we will talk about the Knicks beating the crap out of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the potential impacts that series might have on the Lakers offseason. Pretty like a relatively easy through line to draw there. Especially if you're residing in my brain over the weekend. So we will talk about that. And then over the course of the show, if you guys have any questions or comments and all of that good stuff, hit us with them and we will get to as many of those at the tail end of the show. But all right, quick reminder. Well, also,
speaking of the comments, I want to address something really quickly. Jay Cooper corrects me and says that the car chase was in 1994, so it wasn't even against the Spurs; it was against the Rockets.
Yeah, I was thinking.
In
like,
fairness,
as you were
I was three,
that.
And you know, the documentary mostly focuses on the car chase thing, not who was playing in the final. It's like it's the fact that the Knicks were in the finals, opponent not mentioned, and the car chase. Like,
was it Houston?
Yeah, it was Houston. It
must have been Houston. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Houston.
Yeah, I thought 1999 seemed a little too recent. But yeah, so we will, before we dive fully into the show, and at this point, 10 minutes in, sorry, Prize Picks. Today's show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA to get $50 worth of free lineups when you sign up, use the promo code and play a $5 lineup of your own. And then if you guys are listening to the show, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, please turn on notifications both for YouTube and for the show. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you do get them, preferably on Odyssey, but they all work just the same for me. All right, so let's dive on in. Again, the Lakers over the weekend made a little bit of news by hiring Rohan Ramadas as assistant general manager of strategy and data systems. This is one of the two assistant GMs that Rob Pelinka had spoken about at his joint presser with JJ Redick. The other assistant GM that, whoop, we lost Harrison. The other assistant GM that the Lakers are preparing to hire will be in charge of the draft and scouting and all of that good stuff. Are you okay?
Yeah, my mic got disconnected. I was laughing and I knocked the cord out. And at your great start to the show today.
You're on fire. OJ, for no reason whatsoever, it turns out. And then,
hey,
and then
look, just I just wanted to make sure that he wasn't around to do it again. Okay. I don't know who this time celebrity interrupting the Knicks finals will be. Is there someone big enough that, like, if they got into a car chase, they would interrupt the finals?
Drake?
I feel like they wouldn't. I don't think that they would interrupt it for the Drake car chase.
What if he was being chased by Kendrick Lamar?
Then I think they'd interrupt it.
So yeah, like this is one of two assistant GMs that Rob Pelinka was getting ready to hire. This one, so when Rob Pelinka initially pitched it, he said that there was going to be one who would be in charge of like the draft and scouting and all of that good stuff. And then the other assistant GM would kind of be in charge of strategy and the cap and kind of the minutia of general managing. And then he would oversee both of them and so on and so forth. I'm not going to lie. This kind of reminds me of the Lakers bringing in Farhan Zaidi, who ironically was, or the Dodgers bringing in Farhan Zaidi. And ironically, Farhan himself, you know, played a role in bringing in Rohan. So you have that going on. Rohan spent most recently was involved with the Pelicans organization and has risen through the ranks by way of, data systems and AI systems that kind of streamline their decision-making processes and all of that good stuff. He is considered a very bright dude with a very bright future ahead of him.
You think the rocket scientist is bright? Report that the guy with the rocket science degree is pretty smart.
The difference here is that like he is bright, but he is also like one of the things that I'm always kind of like hyper aware of is, or one of my like key factors in, you know, somebody's intelligence is whether they are aware of the things that they don't know. And oftentimes, you know, engineers and, you know, data people and in sports, right, these highly analytical people, they can be as bright as they come, but their blind spots can, you know, really affect them more than other people's blind spots because they are like impossible to take into account that there are things that they do not know and that they cannot quite figure out. And from what I've gathered about Rohan is he is not that kind of bright, that he is still very curious. He is still very aware that there are things that he will need to learn. And has done a ton of that learning, during his time in the Pelicans organization. Ironically, Harrison, you being of SB Nation, he is a blog boy like us, right? Like potentially, he's this guy who wrote about the Pelicans and did so intelligently enough that it caught the right eye, and he is kind of again, and this is I think a mark of his own intelligence, or. And this is part of my annoying question that I'll have here in a bit, could also be a mark of some holes in the Pelicans organization that somebody would rise through the ranks as quickly as he did. But for the most part, everybody I've spoken to has said that this dude is a really bright dude with a really bright future. And the Lakers are going to be better for having him. What was your reaction to the hire over the weekend?
Well, so honestly, my honest reaction was, at first, I was sort of like, this is the kind of hire that I should be excited about. It's outside the Lakers' immediate circle. Like, there's no, like, his last name's not Rambis, you know, like, he's not, as far as we know, related to, like,
he's not Jeannie some, Butt like, player's or, kid, yeah.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. not, he's not Rob Pelinka's godson or something like that, mm-hmm. or nephew or whatever. Like, there's no nepotism connection. He's not related to Adam Levine. You know, like, there's no nepotism connections here.
Yeah.
That we know of. I mean, I suppose it's possible there are some that we don't know of, but
that'd be funny if, like, the Lakers, like, reached out to us, hey, just so you know, he's actually, like, Bill Burka's godson.
Like, Bill Burka's great godson. It's like,
yeah.
Somebody was like, well, you know, like, Bill's been around a while. Like, we there's no one I'd trust more to take care of my kid if something happens to me. He's got a good scouting record.
Right.
Yeah. I was excited about this. And it's like, you know, he's a rocket scientist. He's a guy that is clearly smart. He's outside their normal circles. He is not the kind of, like, it's not the kind of hire you and I would normally sit here and criticize and be like, why did you hire, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger's trainer as the head of performance for an NBA team? Like, I don't, like, right. It's like, you hired a guy who specializes in building, like, fake TV muscle that sort of is, like, almost, like, painfully on brand, you know?
Yeah.
And they didn't do something like that.
Which didn't work out, by the way, as it turns out.
No, it did not. On the other hand, he worked for the Pelicans. And so it can't possibly... Like, what was he influencing that we can feel good about, you know?
Well, this is my nagging, annoying question, Harrison. Because you're absolutely right. This is the kind of move, like, there are a lot of characteristics about this move that I should be applauding, right? No Lakers connections. Broadens their scope as far as, like, you know, potential relationships across the league. You know, this enhances potentially their relationship with, like, the Pelicans, for example, you know, now that Rohan can kind of go back and talk to some of his former coworkers and stuff like that.
Are his former coworkers there? Was there not, like, a Joe Dumars, you know, purge? I mean, I guess probably some of them. I don't know.
I just can't imagine, like, the Pelicans, given it, like, how cheap they are, like, not, like,
apparently they fired a bunch of people like at the end of the season. Yeah, they do. So yeah, it's you know, I don't know. Yeah, we shouldn't assume.
All right. Well, that takes away.
He can
that
bond with. He knows confidence. Like, good restaurant spots. He can bond with the new Pelicans mm-hmm. regime. He could just be like, hey, you know, you gotta check out Cafe Du Monde. Little known insider spot, you know.
Somewhat overrated.
I disagree, actually. I thought it was amazing.
I think that there are better beignets out there in New Orleans. Like, I think I ate it, like, a place called Cafe Beignet. What was it called? I forget.
That's SEO for you.
But anyway, like, they... Yeah, so they, you know, there's a lot that I would normally really praise for this hiring, and I think, like, a lot of that stuff does, like, you know, ring true. However, when I think of, like, organizations that, like, the Lakers really, really, really need to purge from, the Pelicans are very low down the list, like, extraordinarily low down the list, and you know, I kind of asked, hey, like, why the Pelicans? Like, why, what, you know, like, what's going on? And it does kind of sound like a lot of, you know, well, for one thing, you have, like, the Spurs and the Thunder are, like, in the playoffs right now. So they're kind of putting the clamps on who their people can talk to and any potential distractions there. And you have, like Boston people are pretty committed to what Boston's building there, and the Lakers, I don't think, really want to go call, like, they, I don't really want, think they want it found out that the Lakers are calling for Boston people. They're very aware of that stuff. And just generally speaking, as Yaron and I spoke about in our episode last week, generally speaking, there are a lot of highly qualified people around the league, the kind of, like, hires that I would be absolutely thrilled about, who are looking at the Lakers and yes, it is an opportunity and all that stuff, but they don't know how long Rob Pelinka is going to be there. And they don't know, like, you know, if this is just kind of temporary hires before, you know, Farhan and Andrew Friedman and Mark Walter put their heads together, look out across the entire landscape of the NBA and hire the people who will be their people for the foreseeable future. And that has kind of affected the hiring pool here.
Well, and your pod with your own was good. And like, I would encourage anyone to go listen to it about like the reasons, like a lot of the reasons why the Lakers were having a hard time filling this role, and like sort of some of the issues that were coming up for people. But like, I think the one thing that you guys didn't discuss was not just the why would I tie myself to Rob Pelinka when like I could be in with the next regime that replaces him. It's sort of like widely seen as like an inevitability. Like the new owner is going to want to hire his own GM eventually. Yeah. He's not going to want to keep, you know, Genie's guy. And there's that aspect of it, but there's also the aspect of it that like, do I want to tie myself to Rob Pelinka even as like an underling, given how we've seen that he moves politically? Like, did anyone hear the Magic Johnson stories of him like walking around the office asking where Magic was and be like, you know, that's somebody that I really want to work with as a coworker that I'm sure will in no way stab me in the back.
Right. Well, like, is this assistant GM thing? Like, are you signing up to be a meat shield? Right.
Yeah.
Like is Rob hiring the next sacrificial lamb that he could throw to Genie just in case this offseason doesn't go the way that it, because again, what as much as like who like Rohan and whoever the next assistant GM is going to be and everybody else is going to be that are being hired right now, as much as they're working with like they are directly reporting to Rob, eventually the decision does get to Genie Buss, you know, at least for the next few years. As far as like how the organization is run, and there is this perception around the league that like the people who were being hired here are being in hired in part to be, you know, names that Rob mentions as like, you know, I worked closely with so and so to find this player or this prospect or whatever, and if it works out, all of a sudden that so and so won't get mentioned as much. But if it doesn't work out, you know, it'll come up that like, oh yeah, you know, that so and so is you know, is a person who really really pushed for drafting, so you know, that player. And by the way,
Rohan like, really wanted us to extend Dalton Connect. Okay, his analytics models were saying underappreciated genius.
Right. And it's like also the like we just saw this, you know, the at the end of the day, the people who are still there who, you know, who wound up winning that, you know, political like internal war, like they get to, you know, decide like how the story is told and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, like in talking to people who used to be there, and the processes that went into drafting JHS and Dalton and stuff like that, like, you know, part of why that draft team and their productivity fell off to the extent that it did was Rob had staked more ownership in those teams and was a lot more hands-on with those processes and was a lot more involved with those picks, specifically in the first round. And that kind of disrupted a lot of what the Lakers were previously, you know, would have previously considered a strength. That wound up becoming a weakness, because of, you know, the small circles that Rob Pelinka is kind of used to working with. And you know, JHS was Jalen Hood-Schifino. I kept on forgetting what his name was, but like he's a really good,
it would
example
have been better
here
if the Lakers had forgotten on draft night, like they forget to get the pick in, you know.
But like the way that all played out, right, where like, you know, there was more of a consensus on Kobe Bufkin. There were more people who liked Bufkin. And then Bufkin went before the Lakers were picking. And at that point, they were kind of scrambling. And Rob pushed for Jalen Hood-Schifino. Now, you don't really hear much of that. And you probably won't hear much of that until Rob is no longer with the Lakers. But like that, I think, is a noteworthy example of like the more things that Rob kind of became involved with, like the less effective the Lakers had kind of become. So on one hand, I'm really excited that they're expanding this front office, you know, to hopefully, you know, dole out some more of these responsibilities so that the people who are in charge of these very key aspects of the organization are more qualified, can focus in on just their thing rather than, you know, Gary Vee having to be head trainer and flight, like air traffic controller. But, you know, and those, that's the hope here. But until I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that like, it's twofold. I don't love that they went and got from the Pelicans, because the Pelicans are not a very well-run organization. But like my bigger concern here, Harrison, is that like, until Genie's gone, I just don't really care like what type of you know, polish they put on the pig. Like at the end of the day, like Genie Buss is kind of the problem, and her steadfast support of Rob Pelinka is the problem. And that's why, by the way, a lot of people around the league are kind of like, you know what, we'll wait until Mark Walter is running things. We'll wait till Genie's gone, and we'll wait till that organization can finally run the way that the Dodgers are run.
Yeah. And, you know, Revive Gamer HD in the comments brings up like a good point of like, you know, are we going to ask if you're Mark Walter and your current GM is limiting you from obtaining the best front office personnel you can get? Why are you still employing said GM? This is sort of my question coming out of your pod with your own last week was like, you know, yeah, at what point does that sort of become a knock on? Like, if you're hearing from all these candidates, it's like, yeah, no, I'd kind of rather wait for the next regime to take this like big promotion. It's like, well, like at what point are you just like, you know, hey, we're going to fast forward to the next regime. And I don't think that that's going to come this off season, but I do think that it's like probably a bad mark on Rob. Now that said, like him and Rohan and whoever they hire as this other assistant GM and, you know, the rest of this like beefed out front office, they might still end up working out.
It might work.
And I also like, you know, I was half serious about the Pelicans thing, but I'm also like half not. You know, there's plenty of talented people who have worked for shitty organizations. You know, it's just like a lot of the time, you know, you're talking about, I think the issue is Genie. Does that mean that everybody that another team could hire from the Lakers is necessarily bad? Like, not necessarily. They could have good ideas that just aren't being allowed to flourish under sort of the Genie, Rob, you know, Kurt Rambis, like troika at the top of the Lakers. And so, like, I'm not necessarily going to rule him out just based on that he can't possibly be good. I mean, the Pelicans, you know, it's like I was talking with somebody about this today. The Pelicans actually got still a pretty good package for AD. It just, like, unfortunately, they, like, bricked, like, every single draft pick that they, like, had out of that, you know, including Jackson Hayes. You know, it's like, again, like you could be like, yeah, that's like a, you know, he's a solid backup center, not really what you want with the fourth pick, which is what I believe he was.
Right.
Yeah. And so like they obviously whiffed on a bunch of draft picks, but you know, their valuation in terms of what they got from the Lakers was pretty good for AD. And, you know, again, I don't know who was involved in what aspects of that. And so it's sort of hard to say, you know, there's it's possible that this guy has merit and is pretty good, but it's also like sort of telling that he took the job that a lot of other people were not willing to take and has been sort of out of the league since getting let go from the Pelicans. And again, that doesn't mean that he's bad. It just means that he's sort of been on, like, this is not someone that you're grabbing from the Oklahoma City Thunder who is allowing them to draft like, you know, all-stars in the second round. Maybe he could be that, but we just don't know.
Yeah, like I'm not damning this thing to like that it's not, it definitely isn't going to work out. Like sometimes people are just talented enough that they rise beyond the things that are dragging them down, right? The ropes that bind. Right, like Peyton Manning was still able to win a Super Bowl in Indianapolis despite that entire organization just being an absolute disaster. But
Steph Curry overcame Joe Lacob to win that 2022 title. You know, he overcame the two timelines to get it done.
Exactly. So I don't know. I've been kind of hesitant to kind of say this on the air, but a source of rampant speculation around the league is that the Lakers didn't go to, like, they weren't put to the open market. They weren't put on the open market. One of the reasons that people are kind of wondering about is, you know, because we have this 3 to 5 year window where Jeannie and her people get to continue running the team. And Jeannie, you know, could have, in this hypothetical that there are a lot of people who kind of wonder about this stuff, Jeannie could have, you know, basically said, look, if we agree to a respectable enough number, a high enough number, I'll sell directly to you, Mark Walter, without putting the team on the market, and thus, you know, costing myself potential money. Well, he had the right of first refusal,
right? I mean, he could have matched any other. That's part of the reason, too, is that he had, like, in their contract that if the team did go on the open market, he still had the right to buy it and match whatever the other offers were.
Right, but the offer could have gone up if it hit the open market. So like the thinking that's out there is that the Lakers Jeannie Buss basically said to Mark Walter, we'll skip that whole process and I will forego any potential better offers that we could possibly get here on the Lakers. And now, like, there are other reasons potentially for doing it, right? Like, you know, when you sell the Lakers and when it's such an important part of your family's history and stuff like that, you just want to make it as clean a process as possible. Like, there's plenty of other reasons that this could have possibly been the case. But one of the sources of speculation out there is that, like, one of the pitches that Mark Walter could have made is, what if you and your people get to keep running the thing for 3 to 5-ish years or so?
Yeah.
And maybe that pushes it over the finish line.
Yeah.
And there's this sense again, like when this kind of backs up this theory, there's this sense out there with the people who would otherwise be looked at for these positions, that people are just kind of waiting this out.
Yeah.
Waiting that window out. And I'm not saying that this is definitely what's going on. I'm not saying that this is definitely not going on. I'm just saying that this is a thing that a lot of people around the league are kind of speculating about. And there's this hesitancy to work with Rob Pelinka because he's not very trustworthy. But there's also this hesitancy to work with Rob Pelinka because someday, you know, Mark Walter and his people will fully take over. And who knows what the Lakers will eventually look like when that time comes. And do you want to be considered a part of the previous regime when that time comes? And I think there are, like, it's fair to wonder about that stuff.
Well, the first part of that with Jeannie, it seems pretty clear that that's what happened based on, like, the Baxter reporting, based on just, like, logic and, you know, like, you know, just everything that's gone on around this. It seems, like, pretty obvious that that is exactly the handshake deal that they had. And that, like, kept the process, like, a little bit tighter, or something along those lines. And then the second part just sort of logically follows from that. Like, I don't need people to speculate about that around the league because it seems, you know, if you just think about it, obviously that's what people would be thinking, you know, based on sort of the fact that if the first thing is true and, like, they sort of get their 3 to 5 years running the team, you know, again, if you're Steve Senior, who I'd never heard of before this process, but we'll just use him as an example. If you're Steve Senior and you're with the Minnesota Timberwolves, like,
you think Steve Senior has a kid also named Steve?
I made this exact joke on Twitter when the news came out.
I really hope he does.
Yeah, well, I think that they need to hire Steve Senior and Steve Senior Jr. as the junior vice president of senior Lakers affairs, you know?
does Steve Senior in that case go by Steve Senior Senior?
I think he has to, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like,
no, I mean, no, he probably, like, you know, they're based in Minnesota, right? So they probably have some, like, you know, like, they probably call him like Big Steve or something. You know, he's like, ah, just call me Big Steve. And then they're like, okay, Steve Senior, and he's like, no, I prefer Big Steve.
Yeah, that's why, like, all the Vikings names like really make me laugh, right? Like you know, Ragnar Lothbrok's son, like it's just like in Leif Erikson's son.
Yeah. So, if I'm Steve Senior, I'm Steve Senior. I'm one of the most, apparently one of the most promising front office candidates in the world, you know? Yeah. And so why would I want to go work for Rob Pelinka when I could potentially have Rob Pelinka's job?
Right. You know, and look, like, it wasn't that long ago, Harrison, that after Magic stepped aside, there were very reputable front office folks who were lining up for the opportunity to step into Magic's old job. And even back then, Jeannie was like, she took meetings and lunches and stuff like that from what I've heard. But at the end of the day, she was like, no, Rob's my guy. And I think, and this is the part of it that, like, I was getting at.
Well, and then since then, those GMs have gotten to see like up close. It's like Magic, you know, let's just say not exactly a master politician. You know, based on the way that he carried himself, like he was pretty it would have been easy if you were like Masai Ujiri, you know, at that time to say like, OK, yeah, like Rob stabbed him in the back. But also it seems like he was really bad at his job. And like, you know, that some of that is like Rob is like doing the right thing for the organization. But now that you've gotten a couple years to see, it's like everybody sort of basically everybody that comes through here, you know, eventually gets, you know, shanked. Because it's like, well, you did the Rust trade. You did this. You did that. It's like,
right.
At some point, it's like, okay, like, yeah, I don't necessarily want to work with this guy because I know that he's really good at blaming when things go wrong on other people.
And more importantly, his boss believes him every time.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's the part of this, like, watching this all play out with the Lakers and LeBron and Clutch and given where that relationship currently sits and the erosion of that relationship after the Russell Westbrook trade, like watching that tape, like if I'm anybody who pays any amount of attention around the league and I'm, you know, looking at the Lakers as a place that might one day become an employment opportunity. I'm looking at that and I'm like, wait, Baxter reported what? Wait, Jeannie actually thinks that she is the savior of the Lakers and not wait, what? You know, and I
love the idea of Rob just in her ear. He's like, you know, you should be getting more credit for this. It's kind of crazy how much they're giving LeBron, right?
Yeah, right. Like that Lord of the Rings.
Do they not understand that you're the one who empowers all of us to have success? And she's like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, it is National Women's Day.
LeBron did wish her a happy International Women's Day. Okay. We can't, Le Feminist, was properly respecting Jeannie at that point.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. We'll put a bow on this one here by just saying like, look, at the end of the day, I hope that this works out for Rohan. I have heard a whole bunch of really good things about Rohan and there is plenty of reason to believe that this is going to work out. I just think also there are these nagging questions and I happen to have a podcast and I asked you guys those nagging questions.
Like, yeah. Well, we should shout out listener Narav who did some like, I don't know if you want your last name out there on the air, so I'm not going to use it, but thank you for the long email that you sent to Anthony and I revealing that this guy is a former SB Nation blogger. Rohan is that it. And that wrote about the, actually then the Hornets. It was for At the Hive. So when they were still the Hornets, he was writing about the New Orleans Hornets and eventually got hired by said New Orleans Hornets as like a consultant and then worked his way up through the ranks. But also at one point was an SB Nation blogger doing like national blogs for the team. And so we actually can say now that, you know, you've been asking this question all year about LeBron and like, is there anybody with the Lakers who like actually wants him back? Like, is there anyone that's going to indicate that they want LeBron back? And Rohan might be that guy. He wrote in 2011, a headline, in ripping LeBron James, Magic Johnson ignores his own history. About how Magic can't criticize LeBron for coming up short in the clutch, because Magic also came up short in the clutch in his career.
He did.
And so, you know, we might have, there might finally be a LeBron stan infiltrating the ranks that's ready to be like, hey, you know, this guy's like the best player in NBA history. Maybe we should be trying to keep him.
I hope so. Like,
My analytics models are saying LeBron for $25 million a year is actually like one of the best value contracts in the world. And Rob's like, yeah, God damn it. Shit. Like, I can't.
I do want to say, like, while we're on, like, you're kind of joking. That's the best email. I was thinking about, I replied to.
It's definitely the best listener. With all due respect to all other previous listener emails, this was like 4,000 words. Essentially kind of doxing this guy, but that like in like a lighthearted way, you know, and it was like you and I were joking. It's more work than we have put into a pod, like maybe ever.
Yeah. it was well written. It was incredibly well reported. It was like, it was funny. It was all of these things. So Nirav, thank you very much for that email. That was incredible. Like, that's the bar.
It included a photo of the new Lakers assistant GM next to a person in a Kobe jersey. While he is wearing a New Orleans Chris Paul Hornets jersey. Incredible.
Yeah.
With a Hornets hat. He was full kit. He had the whole thing on. I assume he was wearing Hornets shorts and Chris Paul shoes.
He showed up ready to play.
Yeah.
Put me in, coach.
I'm glad that it's someone like, they're bringing in someone who's like a real basketball sicko. Like, if you're hiring a basketball blogger, like a guy who was doing this for, you know, I'll tell you, like, at the time, the rates that SB Nation was paying is somebody who was there around the same time. I know Rohan was not making
it
that
was
much.
For the love of the game.
He's really into this stuff, and like I can respect that at least. And like I'm always rooting for blog boys to succeed in the NBA landscape. Like I hope he runs the team someday.
There are people like that Shamit Dua said who's a Pelicans insider who I think he's at Fear the Brown.
Yeah.
He said that he, you know, he thinks that this guy is eventually going to run a team someday. So, like, there's plenty of people, like, you know, whether it be Shamit who's saying it very publicly or people kind of behind the scenes who are saying it privately, just, you know, seeing this guy's praises, hard worker, creative thinker, really at the forefront of you know, analytical thinking and stuff like that, which is always evolving. This is somebody who I think the Lakers are, like, just by filling the position, Harrison, that's a big addition, right? Like, just by like literally having somebody in this position, by having this position at all, is a big win here for the Lakers. But I also think that the process at arriving here, you know, kind of told us some unfortunate truths about, like, the Lakers organization while Jeannie Buss is still calling the shots.
And people have succeeded against, like, they have swam upstream and succeeded before. But it does mean that, you know, that stream's there. It's going to be, he's going to be sort of, even no matter how great he is, he's going to be working with a little bit of a weighted vest.
Well, like, here's the question I'll present to you, right? Or like a hypothetical that, so one of the people who have been involved heavily in this interview process has been Kurt Rambis. He is like this, like, he's kind of a consultant in the senior position who is, I think, like, eventually going to be phased out. But like, is he interested in being phased out? Like, when they start interviewing for some of these other positions,
if I got an $8 million bonus, there is no job in the world that I would want to continue working. Like, I'm sorry, Kurt, you've done all right for yourself. Like, it's time, buddy.
Yeah.
Like,
well, plus, like, the $8 and the $24 million bonus that his wife got.
Well, that's
right?
Linda's. Like, you know, that's Linda's money. I'm sure that, I like to imagine they both keep their own books, you know? And Linda keeps Kurt on a budget.
I wonder what some of Kurt Rambis's expenses are on the internet.
Yeah. Like,
like
I appreciate, though, like Shams giving someone anonymity to call Rohan a literal rocket scientist. A Pelican source called him a literal rocket. Like, literally, he is a rocket scientist. You did not need anonymity for that. Yeah. Like, he has a degree in rocket science.
Yeah, I will say, like, as somebody who dabbles in some of this stuff, people will just, like, even though that's a compliment, they don't want to be outed as somebody who talks to Shams. Like, that's why. Yeah,
I guess. But it's like, I mean, you already have in the story that he has his, like, rocket science. Like, we don't.
I don't know. None of this makes very much sense in what you think about it. All right, well, let's wrap here on the Knicks advancing. They sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers in one of the least impressive performances a conference finals team has put forth that we got from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
James Harden. You guys have to go. A series has to go for them to have to leak the next day that they're not firing the coach who they just hired like last year. And it's taking like, them a round further in the playoffs each time.
Donovan Mitchell, like, having to come out and immediately say, like, yeah, I really love it here.
Was Super the James Harden, was him saying that they were, he still thinks they're the more talented team? Was that a real quote?
Yeah, I would probably say so. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I could see
James because Harden the Kenny Atkinson like one that. From the day before, like, we were debating this in an SB Nation analytically team earlier today. Yeah, analytically, we've won two out of three. Like, that is an all-time bad quote for a coach.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. You even if
I don't think true, there's any coming back from that. I would have fired him for that quote. I would have fired him for that quote.
Even if it's true. Like, I don't know what their analytical models say. I hope Rohan's analytical
you need models new models. Does your model take into account final score? Like, also, like, the thing, it's no like matter what that, Kenny Atkinson.
You can't talk about the shot quality and analytically we've won this, whatever, after you lose. You can talk about it after you've won.
JJ Redick did it too, and I was like, God dang it, that he might be a loser.
I roll my eyes every time. It's like, yeah, but they play the games.
Yeah. Well, and
it's like Anthony and I's job to talk about analytically, here's the nuance here, whatever. Like, it's not your job. You should not be saying this. Like, that's a cope.
Even if Atkinson wins a championship, the post is going to be, wow, look how far he came. It's going to involve that quote. That's going to be analytically forever tied to
him. He's won two titles.
Well, then he was also saying that, like, you know, because they lost game sixes, that was potentially part of the reason that they, or because the other series.
Buddy, you lost the game sixes. There's no one to blame for that but you.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I just
think if we hadn't been so tired from not taking our earlier series seriously, like, maybe we could have won, but who knows? You know, we'll never know. Analytically, I would think we could have won.
Well, and then you have like Donovan Mitchell out there saying that like James Harden belongs in the conversation with some of the greatest who have ever played the game. And he says like the fact that he isn't is just because of rings culture. It's like, Donovan, the point is to win. The point isn't to accumulate stats. The point is to win. You know, like, you guys didn't win because James Harden is a loser. Everybody knew how your season was going to go because James Harden is the greatest loser in the history of maybe all professional sports.
I don't know if I would go that far, but I would say that, like, James Harden, you know, he's not wrong about that James Harden should be discussed among the greats. I just think that we can put to bed the idea that he is, like, greater than, you know, these guys who are, like, on the Mount Rushmore, Pantheon, whatever. Like, he's clearly one of the greatest regular season floor raisers we've ever seen. Ceiling raiser, we have yet to see that. And I think we're probably not going to at this point. He's 36, like... I think the book is probably written on that.
I mean, the fact that he got there and then like Donovan Mitchell's usage rate just absolutely plummeted, you know, because it becomes James Harden ball.
Did you say, I don't know if you saw, I saw the post or have thought about this at all, but the new lottery reform, like James Harden is always going to get the bag. Like that is inevitable because the new lottery reforms potentially set him up for like those the bad teams with cap space. If they want to get the slightly higher draft odds by being mid, what do? You sign James Harden to a big contract to come in and raise your floor in the regular. It's like, hey,
he's going
to
play till he's 63,
baby.
Yeah, he's going to play till he's 63 because he's good enough at getting teams to there.
Yeah,
right there.
Unironically, I feel like he could. If something doesn't change to improve the regular season product, like I feel like James Harden at like 40 could be doing like the regular season version of what LeBron just did in the playoffs, where it's like he's just so smart and like he's so good at like making plays on autopilot.
On any given Wednesday in Orlando.
Yeah, like on any given Wednesday in Orlando, you know, James Harden could still dish like 20 assists in a regular season game, you know, at like 45.
And then hop on a flight to Atlanta.
Yeah. That's his reward. He gets to go on a flight to Atlanta. You play him once a week and he gets a flight to Atlanta every single time, every time you win, you know?
So the Cavs lose that series and, apparently they are not firing Kenny Atkinson. They are apparently not blowing it up, even though there has never been a clearer blow it up team than this Cavs team. Apparently they're going to be running a lot of this back. And they, by the way, are this team that they're probably the team that is most frequently brought up as a LeBron suitor, a possibility for LeBron if he does leave the Lakers. And I'm sitting here saying, like, if what LeBron said on his show are his top two priorities, being somewhere that his family actually wants to be and winning at the highest level, I just don't see a world where that dude goes and plays in Cleveland. And apparently Windhorse is out there is also reporting that LeBron would not take a huge pay cut to go to the Cavs either, which really limits whether or not he could actually go to the Cavs. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, also that is what LeBron has to posture right now as well. Like, you know, he can't just be like the opposite would never come out. LeBron can't leak right now while he's still trying to get like a reasonable payday from the Lakers. Like, yeah, but I'd take the minimum in Cleveland.
The problem is he has no choice.
Well, he may not have a choice. And so it's like that, you know, that wall may be coming for him, but that reality has not set in yet. Clearly, you know, he was talking about like, you know, I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to, you know, so I don't know if everybody's going to wait. Like,
ask Kevin Durant, man. Ask Chris Paul, like how the league treats you when it's kind of sort of moved on.
Well, LeBron's still better than those guys, but
a lot better. A lot better. No, I grant that it's not an apples to apples situation, but like you only have as much leverage as you actually have. And
I'm disappointed we haven't gotten a leak from like teams KD would play for yet. You know, like I want to hear what Kevin Durant thinks. Like, what does he think is like the next chapter in his career? You know?
Ooh.
He definitely like wants them to blow it up and trade for Kyrie, right? Like free him from the Mavs, run it back.
Kevin Durant is like, if you really, really think about his career and his presence and like everything about like everything that we kind of sort of know about Kevin Durant to the extent that we know about Kevin Durant, isn't he a Clipper?
It's a good point.
Like, isn't that guy, doesn't he just scream Clipper?
I feel like he surpasses Paul George as like, no, I don't know if you can ever take that crown from Paul George.
No,
like,
Paul George is the Clipper.
Paul George is the like Mr. Clipper. But like KD when Paul is George on that Mount Rushmore, probably as like
he could be, like, he should replace Chuck the Condor ring, as like, their like
hard. Yeah.
Or like he should wear the Chuck the Condor suit after Paul George retires. Like he's just that much of a Clipper.
Yeah, I think Paul George, like you got to put the jersey up there if you're the Clippers. Like that's the most Clipper player to ever play for you.
No, Paul George is going to hang his Clippers jersey. Like that's the most Clippers thing that's a Clipper would do.
Yeah, Paul George goes into the Hall of Fame as a Clipper. He's had like all these other memorable like runs elsewhere. That were like,
is arguably he a Hall of Famer? Paul George?
Paul George will make the Hall of Fame. Yeah. The people like the bar for entry in the NBA is not as high as people think it is. Paul George is going to make the Hall of Fame.
But normally it involves like being good in college, and he wasn't very good in college.
Well, I mean, he did play for Fresno State, in fairness. I'm not sure, like, how... What was he going to do?
I'm not going to lie. Part of the reason I don't like Paul George is because he played for Fresno State.
I think he was genuinely, like, under recruited, probably. Like, he was a guy that, like, it sounds like it probably was just, like, overlooked and missed.
No, you know what school he was choosing between?
No.
One of the schools he was choosing between?
Was it Cal State Fullerton?
Our alma mater. Like, he was, like,
never mind. Fuck you, Paul George. Never, yeah. You could have. Clippers, don't retire. The whole, Anthony, cut the whole last segment. Paul George is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it was like Fresno. I think Long Beach State was one of them. And like Cal State Fullerton was one of the schools.
I really didn't really think that considering. I could sort of, because I don't hate Paul George, but like, you know, sort of have like, I didn't think I could have more of a distaste for Paul George.
Would have been at Cal State Fullerton when I was there. Like, yeah, I would have been able to go.
You would have been.
There's
a
world, Harrison, where I could have played against Paul George in that rec center.
There's a world where you could be his white guy co-host on Podcast P. You know?
No, I don't think I'm too sarcastic. Like the most important character, like character trait that those white dudes have is like they just say yes and they just agree with everything that the NBA, and I am not, you know, that I'm not good.
No, somebody needs to lean into it though. Somebody needs to do like a player pod with like a really angry team site blogger, you know. That will be the first like really financially successful and lucrative player podcast.
Yeah, like one where the you know, the nerd, you know, occasionally tells jokes.
Yeah, like it's like Draymond Green and that like psychotic Warriors YouTuber whose like name I'm forgetting right now, that like thinks that Steve Kerr is the Antichrist.
Oh god. Sheridan Hoops guy.
Yeah. I would love that. Him and Draymond would fight in the studio like every week.
Actually fight. You're right.
I would watch.
I think I would tune in.
Yeah.
All right.
Hosting a pod with Vando where he just like like they have to stop the episode every week because he's threatening you for the way you talked about him, you know.
I'd say with Dalton Connect, but
he wouldn't get the jokes. Like you'd be making the jokes about like his intel and like it would just totally go over his head.
So mean. I was like,
you're like doing some like dry sarcastic bit, and he's like, yeah, man, it is kind of like that.
It do be like that.
You and Bronny James.
Yeah. Somebody would like, after like the show or the comment section, I'm like, Dalton, he's making fun of you. all right. This was a fun, meandering, wandering episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks and set up an account and make a $5 lineup to get $50 worth of free lineups. Again, there on Prize Picks. And Harrison, anything that you want to plug on your way out?
Yeah, the SB Nation archives for Rohan. I'm not sure how you pronounce this like burner last name that he used. I believe it's a soccer player Cruyff? Reference, but Cruyff, is that it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Rohan Cruyff, who we are pretty sure is the new Lakers assistant GM. Just check out his SBNation.com archives because he actually like wrote some national stuff for SBN, which is sort of amazing for like a, you know, like I would have thought like profile wise, like rocket scientist, I would have assumed he was like a really, really like he was writing like the deep dive analytical stuff and like nothing else. But like he has some, you know, like he has Carmelo Anthony trade rumors highlight Lakers uneasy faith and Andrew Bynum. You know, he's got some real like slop aggregation going on here. I like this guy. I want him to do well.
I do too.
He was in the blog mines with us. Like I'm rooting for this guy.
There's like a few of us out there, right? Like, isn't there, like, I think the in the Wizards organization, there's another former blog boy.
Mark Schindler, I know, is like, I believe, like assistant GM with the Toronto Tempo, who's like former Indy Cornrows guy. But yeah, the blog, there's a lot of blog people in like basketball that, you know, they had smart enough takes to get hired by a team. I'm not holding my breath for you or I to get one of those jobs, but like it is it is a pathway that exists for like the draft Twitter like people and stuff like that. Like the people who are actually like digging into real insight on the guys, you know, like you know, who can't dribble left and you know, they're building their models about.
Well, I can dribble left. I happen to be left-handed, but I can dribble left.
I'm saying the people who evaluate which players, you know, it's like, like they're the ones that catch that LeBron was looking at his hand every single time before he shot threes and like add that and like get that on a team scouting report and then get offered to like work for a team and watch film for them.
Cole Zwicker. I don't know if you remember him, but he works in the Rockets, I think VP of basketball ops.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, I'm sure it does seem like he's high up there, but also like you can't tell how much power anyone actually has anymore based on their title because
everybody's titles are very impressive.
Everybody's a vice president now.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Rob. Not Robbie P.
That's why I am the associate director of SB Nation, a title that implies that I have much more power than I actually have.
Well, I'm senior Lakers insider and lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Steve, even though there are people who create way better stuff for Offside than I do.
Yeah. So. Well, hey, they should have negotiated harder.
All right, everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you guys with a mailbag tomorrow.